The Word of God comes to us today as we find in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. In this chapter, Jesus encourages his disciples to continue to pray, and it also is coupled with a promise that God will indeed answer the prayers. We read, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is our reading.
You may be seated. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Les. All right, and as we prepare to take some time to reflect on that, let's bow our heads together in a brief word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we again thank you today for this privilege of gathering before you. We also thank you for the blessing of your word that you give to us, which, again, even though it was written so long ago, it continues to speak to us and into our lives of faith even today. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen, but not only with our ears. Help us to be attentive with our minds, with our hearts, and help us, Lord, to glean from these words exactly what you would have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you all know there are times in life where, you know, things just don't seem to go our way. And in those times, it seems that no matter what we do, it seems that no matter how hard we try, we simply are not getting the results that we desire. And in moments like these, our tendency is to give up. Our tendency is to quit. I remember a time in high school when this happened to me. Even though I'd never considered doing so, I had a friend who convinced me to join the track team. And, you know, I've heard Dalton here in our church, he's talked about his track career back in high school and running and winning races and setting records. Well, that wasn't me. But anyways, my friend, he convinced me to go out for track. And he was debating whether he was going to try out for sprints or distance. And I realized, well, I'm not fast enough for sprints, so I went for distance, and specifically, I ran the mile. Now, since this was my first experience running track, I really did not have an inflated ego when it came to this new experience. I didn't honestly expect that I would be out there winning races and setting records. However, I had been involved in athletics for most of my younger years, and I had always done pretty well in them, and so I generally thought that even though this was new, I should do okay. But my expectations didn't live up to reality. We had one guy on our team who was also running the mile, and he was doing so well under 5 minutes. He was running a mile in the range of like 4 minutes and 20 seconds. I mean, just incredibly fast. And I, on the other hand, was consistently, solidly over 5 minutes, more than a minute behind him. And more often than not, as we ran these races, I would be the last one across the finish line. And what made matters worse is that no matter how much I practiced and no matter how hard I practiced, my times just did not improve all that much. No matter how hard I practiced, no matter how much I practiced, I just could not get to the point where I could build up my lung capacity and where I could run faster. I mean, during a typical practice, which would be pretty much every day after school, we'd run 2 or 3 miles to warm up. We'd then run some training races for time. We'd do another 2 or 3 miles in order to cool down. But my only problem was that even though I could finish all of these, I was just too slow. I was always short of breath as I ran, and for this reason, I just couldn't keep up with the leaders. Now, looking back now, I think my heart condition had a lot to do with it. Nobody back then, though, however, knew I had a heart problem, and so I had no excuse for my poor performance other than the fact that I stunk. And needless to say, I was frustrated. I was so frustrated that I wanted to quit. But the way I was raised, you don't quit something once you start it. You finish it and you make the best of it. So in one sense, I was absolutely determined that I was going to finish out the season. Now, I certainly would never go out for the track team again, but I would at least finish the season, and I also knew that this is what my parents would expect as well. But then an opportunity to get out of it dropped into my lap. And that particular year, our high school basketball team was ranked very high in the state. And in fact, that year they made it to the state championships, to the championship game. They finished 2nd place in the state of Iowa. But while all of this was going on, while the tournament was going on, the school was providing buses for us to travel from Davenport, Iowa to Des Moines, Iowa to watch the games during the school day. And who wouldn't want to miss school to go watch basketball, right? And so, of course, everybody wanted to go. The only problem was that it conflicted with track. And the track coach had told us that anyone who went to the basketball games who missed practice, they would be kicked off the team. Now, several of my teammates, they were grumbling about this and stating that they were going to go anyways, and I decided to go. I decided to go partly because I wanted to watch the games, but partly because I wanted off the track team too, and that put an end to my illustrious track career. But there are many other times in life where I've felt like quitting, and again, I know you have as well, but I've endured. I'm sure many examples stick out in your own mind as well, but another place where we face frustration such as this is in our life of faith, and as we reflect upon our lesson that was read for you, more specifically a place where we face this frustration is in our life of prayer. Now, quite often when it comes to our prayer life and when it comes to our relationship with God, we want to throw in the towel. And we feel this way because no matter how much we pray, no matter how often we bring to the Lord our needs and our concerns, and despite our faith and trust in the Lord, it just seems that everything continues on the same. It seems that nothing is changing. It feels that our prayers are going unheard. It feels that they are going unanswered. I must have skipped one there. Oh, maybe not. Okay. When we look at God's promises that are contained in the Gospels, His promises to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers, it only makes things worse. We look at passages such as this one in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." We look at other passages like John 14:13, where Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Son may or the Father may be glorified in the Son." And we look at them. We look at these passages which are intended to give us comfort and hope in our life of prayer. And they only cause us to grow more and more frustrated. And we grow more and more frustrated because it seems to us that God is not keeping His promises that He has given to us. Well, our lesson for this morning, it contains a parable that was given by Jesus, and it speaks to us in this exact situation that we have been describing. And we know this because before sharing with us the parable, Luke says this, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Now, as we read through the Gospels, we find that quite often when Jesus shared a parable, the purpose isn't seen until after the fact. There were many times when Jesus would share a parable with the people, and then later on he would share the meaning of that parable in private with his disciples. And we're, of course, able to learn from that as we read about it. Other times, there's no stated purpose of the parable. We're simply left to consider it. We're left to understand it in light of the teaching of the Word of God. But this time, we know right from the outset what we are to take away from this parable. Again, Luke tells us that it's meant to show us that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. It's meant to tell us that we should never give up on prayer. And more than that, it's meant to tell us that we should never give up on God. Now, this parable, as you heard, it's about a widow. And this widow, she was in need of justice against her adversary. And we aren't really given any details of the situation, only the fact that she needed help. And a lot of times, I don't think we pick up on this, but when we consider this passage, Jesus is pointing us to one of the neediest people imaginable in Jewish society. You know, quite often today, if you happen to be a widow, you know how important it is to have somebody to help you, whether it's you don't have your spouse any longer, but hopefully you have your kids who are able to advocate on your behalf. But if you don't have kids, you really have nobody, and you have no help. And it seems that that is the situation that this particular woman was in. And because of this, she turned to the only person to whom she could turn to help, and the person to whom she turned was the judge in her city. And again, that seems like a logical choice. It seems that he would be the right man to take care of her particular need. However, as this judge is described to us, we find that he was less than ideal for this role that he was called to fill within their community. And the reason I say this is because, according to Jesus, this particular judge, he neither feared God nor respected man. And what this means is that, first of all, this judge, he did not care what God thought about his actions. He didn't fear the judgment of God in any way. He didn't really care if he was living his life according to God's word or not. And he also didn't care about people. He didn't care about this woman in particular. He didn't care that she was being wronged by her adversary. Her needs meant absolutely nothing to him. And for this reason, he refused to help her. But this woman, as we read, she didn't come to him only once. When he refused to help her, she did not run away with her tail between her legs, never to return. We're told that even in the face of his refusal, she kept coming to him. Even though he was unwilling to help her, she continued to appeal to him again and again. Now, this is something that I don't think most of us would have done had we been in her shoes. I think we certainly would have asked once, because again, a judge, he's the natural person to take care of this problem. We may even ask twice, but beyond that, it would seem rather pointless. People tell us that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? And in this situation, it seems that this is what the woman was doing. It seems to us that going to this judge repeatedly was really nothing more than a ridiculous endeavor. It seems rather silly. Had we been in her shoes, most of us would have simply lost hope. Having nowhere else to turn, we would have resolved ourselves to the fact that nothing would ever change. We would have resigned ourselves to the fact that we would never be given this justice that we so desperately needed. But as we continue along in this parable, we do find that after a period of time, we're not told how long it was, but after a period of time, this judge gave in. He finally granted her her request. He finally gave to her the justice for which she had been pleading. And although most of us would agree that it's a good thing that he finally gave in to her, it's a good thing that he finally took care of her in her time of need, we also find that he didn't do so for the sake of the widow. We see that he did so for a rather selfish reason. As we read on, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." So to paraphrase, the reason he gave her justice was to shut her up. The reason he gave in to her was because, honestly, she was driving him nuts by her persistence in coming to him and in seeking his help again and again and again. And even though he didn't care about doing what was right before God, even though he did not care about her problem, he granted her request just to get her off his back. As we often say, it's the squeaky wheel, right, that gets the grease. And that seems to be the case in this situation. Now, as we read this, we might be able to relate to this judge in a sense. After all, and I think it's true of all of us, at one time or another, we have given in to other people just to shut them up, haven't we? Maybe somebody is coming to us again and again looking for an answer that they want to hear. And to shut them up, we've done just that. We've told them what they want to hear, even though we don't mean it, but just to get them off our back. We've all been there. Maybe our child is coming to us and we're busy, we're engaged in some activity and they're asking us for a snack for the 150th time in 15 minutes and we're frustrated. And even though we know it's not good to give in to their demands, even though we realize that we're rewarding bad behavior, we give in, we do it anyway. And we do so, again, just to keep them from driving us crazy. We've all found ourselves in these situations. All we want is a little peace and quiet, and for this reason, we'll do just about anything to shut them up. But in a case like this, in the case of the widow, we're not looking at it from the perspective of the judge. We're looking at it from the perspective of the widow, and we're cheering for her. Most of us, as we read this account, we want this woman to get the justice that she needs. And for this reason, as we read about the judge, we're dumbfounded. We can't believe his attitude, his lack of concern for other people. It's absolutely horrible. His lack of concern for God, that's disturbing to us. In our mind, he shouldn't even be a judge. Regardless of his faith, regardless of his lack of faith, we simply want him to do his job. So even though the widow ultimately gets what she needs, the reason he grants her request, that's alarming to us. As I mentioned a moment ago, his reason for doing so, it was completely selfish. He does so for his own sake alone. He does so for his own benefit. And because of this, we're caught off guard as we read beyond the parable. We're caught off guard because after Jesus finishes this story, it seems that he is comparing God to this judge. It seems that he is comparing God to this self-centered, to this egotistical, to this jerk of a judge. Starting in verse 6, Jesus says this, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." So again, as we first read these words following this parable, it may seem to say something rather bothersome to us. It may seem to say that if we bother God enough, he'll answer our prayers. It may seem to say that if we keep coming to God in prayer, if we can only drive him crazy, then perhaps he will grant us what we are asking for. Perhaps he'll do so just to shut us up, just like the judge did in the case of this widow. This, however, is not what Jesus is saying in this parable. He is not drawing a direct comparison between this judge and God. He is doing something that Jesus often does in his teaching. And what Jesus is saying in this particular case is that if this is true of a wicked man, if even a sinner will respond to persistence, then how much more is this the case with God? We can see another example of this teaching style back in Matthew 7. We're going to go back for a minute to a passage I read for you earlier. Again, God says, if you remember, that if we ask, it will receive. If we seek, we'll find. And if we knock, the door will be open to us. And so again, in this way, Jesus is trying to encourage us with the fact that God will certainly answer the prayers that we bring before him. However, look what he says immediately following that passage. He goes on to say, "Or which one of you, if your son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So in this passage, Jesus is comparing God to human fathers. And even though we are sinful, even though we are evil, Jesus says, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We are not going to give to our kids something that will harm them. We are not going to give to our children something that will fail to provide for their need. And if this is true of us, if this is true of humans who are sinful and who are wicked, then how much more is that true of God? God, after all, he is not evil, right? God, he is not sinful. And this tells us that he will do a much better job of meeting the needs of his children than we do with our own children. And this is the same type of comparison that Jesus is using in our lesson for this morning. If the judge granted the request of the widow because of her persistence, if in his sin he met her need, then how much more is this true of God, who knows no sin? God will certainly answer our prayers. He will certainly meet the needs of his children who bring their requests before him. And for this reason, we can pray and not lose heart. For this reason, we can be persistent in prayer. Even when it seems to us that God is being slow in answering our prayer. Even when it seems that God has failed to provide for us in our need. Even when it seems to us that our prayers are falling on deaf ears, we can trust in him and we can continue coming before him with our requests. Now, as we've noted before, this doesn't mean that God is going to give us exactly what we ask for each and every time. And it doesn't mean that he'll act when we think it's the best. After all, God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-gracious. He is all good, and for this reason, he is always going to act in our best interest. If we ask for something that might be harmful to us, God will not grant that request. But he will meet our request in a way that will truly bless us. If we ask for something that won't best meet our need, God may grant our request, but he may give us something even greater than what we asked for in the first place. He may give us something that will meet our need in an even greater way than we could have possibly imagined. And God will also answer our prayer when he knows the time is right. It may feel like an eternity to us, but as Peter tells us in his first epistle, with God a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years or as a day. So we then can trust God, knowing that he is a giver of good gifts. We can trust him knowing that he is good and gracious. We can trust him knowing that he will answer our prayers, but he is going to do so in the greatest way possible. Now Jesus, he then closes this teaching with a very interesting question. After assuring us that God will certainly take care of us, after assuring us that we can pray without losing heart, he asks this question: "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now Jesus, he was already on earth. He was the one speaking to them at this moment in time. So when he asked this question, he is not referring to his first coming. He is instead referring to his return at the end of the age. He's asking then if when he comes back, when he comes to fulfill every last promise of God, when he comes to remove our every trial and to meet our every need, will he find faith on earth? Will he at that point in time find those who have continued to trust in him? Will he find those who have continued to look to him in faith? Will he find those who have persisted in prayer because of their faith in him? Jesus is asking then if we will be overcome by our doubts. He's asking if we will be overcome by our frustrations. He is asking if there will be those who are expecting him and his vindication at the end of the age. And if this is true of us, then we must not lose heart. If this is to be true of us, then we must not be overcome by our frustrations and by our doubts. We must continue to look to him. We must continue to come to him, no matter how things may seem outwardly. So that leaves us with the question then of what do we do when it seems that God is not answering our prayers? What do we do when it seems that our requests are falling on deaf ears? And according to Jesus, in our lesson for this morning, we persist in prayer. Like the widow, we continue to look to him. Like the widow, we continue to bring our needs to him. Like the widow, we continue to pursue his help. And like the widow, we continue to do so knowing that he is the only one who can truly satisfy these needs that we are bringing before him. In other words, we continue coming before the Lord. We continue to bring our requests before him in a spirit of ongoing faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for these comforting words. And they are comforting because so often, Lord, we find ourselves in the circumstance that is described here this morning. So often, Lord, as we come before you, we feel as though our words are going unheard. We feel that our needs are going unmet. And this challenges our faith in you. But we pray that, Lord, knowing your goodness, knowing your power, knowing your wisdom, knowing your mercy, that you would give us the strength to persist in faith. We pray that you would give us the strength to persist in prayer. Help us to come before you knowing that no matter how things seem to us outwardly, that you will meet those needs in the greatest way imaginable. So build us up in you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.